On Sunday nights, we have been studying a series of studies or lessons entitled Getting a Grasp on the Bible. Our text for this series of studies has been 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Paul said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We introduced this illustration of the hand in order to help us recognize the different parts or means of proper Bible study. We also observe the fact that this is not necessarily an exhaustive list, but it does provide us with a good illustration of several of the ways that are helpful in studying the Word of God. We said on that hand that the little finger represents hearing God's Word. The next finger represents reading God's Word. The middle finger represents the study of the Bible. The index finger represents memorizing Scripture. The thumb represents meditation. And the palm of the hand stands for the application of the Word into our lives. Now, we observe the fact that when you use that little illustration and you think about all six of those ways of better getting a good grasp on the Word of God, we said that it stands to reason that if you just take one finger off of that hand, whether it be just hear or memorize or even study, if you take one of them by itself, it's rather difficult to completely grasp the Word of God. But it's best if you take all of those different ways, and in that way we've illustrated how important it is to use several ways or means to become more acquainted with the Word of God and to be able to put it into practice in our lives. Now, in addition to the passage that we read just a minute ago, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, there are several passages of Scripture that commend to us the practice of study. We've already looked at the word hear and the means of studying God's Word or becoming more familiar with God's Word by hearing it or listening to it. Last Sunday night, we studied a little bit about how we can better read the Word of God. And believe it or not, there are several interesting things that can be brought out in a discussion just in how to better read God's Word in order to get more out of it. And tonight, we're going to look at the matter of studying the Word with the intent of being able to retain more of it. Several passages of Scripture commend studying God's Word. Perhaps the most notable of those would be Acts chapter 17, verse 11, which says, "Now those were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the Word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so." When you compare the wording of the New Century Translation in that same verse, it reads like this: "These Jews were more willing to listen than the Jews in Thessalonica. The Bereans were eager to hear what Paul and Silas said, and they studied the Scriptures every day to find out if these things were true." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul tells us that we are in the matter of using the Word of God and handling the Word of God. We are to be workmen that need not to be ashamed, handling aright, or properly handling, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so you see, the point is, there's more to getting something out of God's Word than just casually reading through it, or even sitting for 30 minutes or so and listening to a discussion that's based in the Scriptures. If we're going to get a good grasp on God's Word, there are some things that we need to bring into our practice, things that will help us to retain more of it, to understand more of it, to recall more of it. And so tonight, I'd like for us to address the question, how should we study? How should we study God's Word? Now, I suppose that you may be looking forward to me giving you some mechanical things to do in order to be more effective in studying the Word of God. I suppose that if there's any one thing that more people than anything else have asked me about, asked my advice on, and asked me how I do it, I've probably had more people come up to me within the Lord's church and want to know how to do a better job of studying the Bible. Not that I impress people with being a great student, but most everybody that preaches the Word ought to have to study quite a bit. And so people want to know, how do you study? What do you do to study? As though we're looking for a list of things, magic elements that we need to, practices that we need to bring in, or little things that we can do, mechanical things. I'm going to give you some of those, but I'm not going to give you those first. First, we're going to look at something that's far more important than anything mechanical that you might do in order to more effectively study the Word of God. Number one, approach the Word of God with a respectful and appreciative attitude. Attitude is so vitally important in everything that we do. Attitude is especially important in anything that we do relating to God, God's will for our lives, and His Word. There may be some better times than others for studying God's Word because of your attitude, or because of some things that are going on, or because of the things around you. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to put off studying God's Word until finally we just have no other choice than to go ahead and buckle down and study. But many times the frame of mind with which we approach God's Word will either help us to retain more of it, or it'll hinder us and get in the way of being effective students of the Word. We need to approach God's Word with, first of all, respect. We need to approach it as what it really is, God's Word, God's will for our lives. We also need to approach it with an attitude of great appreciation. I'm convinced a lot of people see this book as a threat. They see it as something that's kind of holding their feet to the fire. They see it as a line that God has drawn in the sand and says, "Now don't you cross that line." There are plenty of lines in here, I'll assure you that. But if that's the way we see the sum total of God's will, His recorded Word, then we're never going to be effective at studying it. We need to approach it with great appreciation, a sense of thanksgiving that God has given us His Word that is reliable, that is true, that is accessible, that is understandable. So many things about the Bible we need to be thankful for. And as we approach it to study it, those things ought to be in our minds and have an effect on the attitude that we have toward the Word. Number two, I would suggest that we need to approach the Word of God with the proper regard for its purpose. The Bible is not just a stuffy old book that was written with the intention of keeping God's people from having fun. That's not the purpose of the Bible. The Bible is God's communication to us. It's God's way of helping us to be able to find the course that we should walk in. I appreciate the mention that Brother Scott made in his prayer for the sake of the young people, that they might choose the right path. Here's what tells us what the right path is. This is God's roadmap. That's the purpose of it, to help us find our way. The more familiar we are with this book, the easier it'll be to stay on the right path. We need to approach it with that thought in mind, with an understanding of its purpose for our lives. We need to approach God's Word, number three, with proper attention given to seeing the book as a whole. This is an interesting book. It is a book, though, that covers three distinct systems of religion. And it's important for us to understand that. In the beginning, it covers a system of religion known as God's patriarchal law. After that, it tells about a distinct system of religion that we understand as the Mosaic system, where God ruled over the Jews through the law that He gave through Moses. And then in the New Testament, it tells us of the Christian system of religion, or the law of Christ. Now, if we get the law of Christ mixed up with the patriarchal law or patriarchal system of religion, we're going to be so confused we won't know whether to offer animal sacrifices or whether to lift up our voices and sing. If we have difficulty separating the Mosaic covenant from the Christian law or the law of Christ, then naturally we're going to have difficulty sorting out and making sure that we're doing the things that God wants us to do today and not mixing in things that God required of the Jews under that second system of religion. We've got to remember that we live under the third distinct system of religion that we read about in the Bible. Somebody says, well, why in the world do we have all three of them bound together in one book? Because I believe God knows that we're smart enough to understand all of that, and that He knows that we can benefit greatly from having the whole picture, even though we are living in a dispensation of time that is governed by the law of Christ and not the patriarchal law and not the Mosaic law. It's important to understand that while those laws of those two previous dispensations of religion do not govern us today, there are still some important principles that were in effect in those days that are still just as applicable today. Perhaps we need to spend some time making sure we understand the difference in law and principle. Some people get really been out of shape when you tell them that we're no longer under the Mosaic covenant, of which the Ten Commandments were a part, and then you turn over to the book of Psalms or Proverbs and read a verse to them and say, this is something that God wants us to do. The difficulty comes in failing to understand that there are many principles that God has always used in dealing with people, no matter what period of time they lived under. Principles, but laws for governing were very much different. And obviously, we've got to understand that there is a clear distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But now let's look at some of the many different ways in which we can study properly. This is the mechanical stuff. You may choose to enter into a study of God's Word by topic. You may decide for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to study the miracles that are recorded in the New Testament. Topical studying is one of the most effective ways to study, because you've narrowed your focus down to one certain topic, whether it's the miracles or the parables, or whether you're going to study the kings of Israel and Judah, or whether you're going to study the judges that ruled over Israel. Whatever it is, you narrow your concentration down to one aspect of the Bible and you study it for a time and learn all you can about it. That's one of the most wholesome ways to study the Bible. You may decide that you want to study the Bible by character. We're doing that on Wednesday night in the auditorium class. We're going through the Old Testament book by book, highlighting the characters that are told about in each book. You may want to do that in a little different way and say, I want to study everything about David, king of Israel, and read everything the Bible says about David and study it and learn his life and glean from those things that are recorded about him, those things that will be helpful in your life today as he followed the laws of God and lived according to the principles of righteousness. You may decide you want to study the Bible by passage. Perhaps you want to give a 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 day study period to just Psalm 23. If you'll study Psalm 23 for 5 or 6 days, I assure you, if you'll put your heart into it, you'll find something there new every day, and you'll find great benefit. Psalm 1 that describes the righteous man, or perhaps Acts chapter 2, which describes that day on which the church was established. Studying the Bible by specific passage is very, very helpful. Perhaps you'd like to study the Bible with a word study. Research. Every time the Bible uses a certain word, the word Lord, would be a very interesting study, because many times it refers to God, Jehovah God. Many times it's used, I'm convinced, even in the Old Testament, to refer to Jesus. Sometimes the word Lord was used to refer to a man, as in the case of Sarah calling Abraham Lord, according to what Peter wrote. Just one of thousands of different words that you could choose and go through the Bible and study every time that word is used. Some people prefer to study the Bible book by book, beginning at the start and studying Genesis. It's interesting to take what some have called a chronological Bible, which, according to the best that some scholars can figure out, arranges all of the books of the Bible in a chronological order and read it through that way and study it in the sense of understanding the complete unfolding of the whole picture, story, piece at a time. None of these is necessarily any better than the others. But whatever way suits you best. And use one way for a time and then use a different way for a time. Some helpful hints or suggestions for more effective Bible study. Number one, take notes. I'm not talking about right now while I'm preaching, but keep writing. I'm talking about when you're studying, when you're reading the Bible. The difference in reading the Bible and studying the Bible is often the existence of a pencil and a pad of paper. You can read the Bible or you can go through it slowly and study it and write down things that you notice and things that you want to go back to, things that you want to pay particular attention to. Take notes when you study. Number two, compare different translations. We made this point last week in reading the Bible. It's an important point regarding our study. Let me give you an illustration. At the beginning of this lesson, we made reference to Acts chapter 17, verse 11, and I read it to you from two different translations. First of all, the New American Standard Version. These were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. The New Century Version, by comparison, says these Jews were more willing to listen than the Jews in Thessalonica. New American Standard, for they received the word with great eagerness. New Century Version, the Bereans were eager to hear what Paul and Silas said. You see, both of them are saying the same thing. They're just saying it in a little different way. And often when we see something that is the same truth that we've already seen, but yet we see it revealed in a little bit different wording or some wording that may be a little bit more modern or perhaps just a little bit more fresh in our way of seeing and reading, sometimes it helps us to retain more of what we study. Number three, consult commentaries when you study, but do it carefully. When you come to something in the Bible and you immediately respond after reading it by saying, "What does that mean?" Go to a good commentary, a reliable commentary, preferably one written by a faithful Christian. Kaufman Commentaries does perhaps as good as any I have ever read at giving a wide choice or selection of different opinions that scholars have expressed through the years. And then, of course, Brother Kaufman is always good to give his own opinion. The Gospel Advocate Commentaries will always be good. If you want to really get into depth, you might get a set of the pulpit commentaries, particularly on the Old Testament. Commentaries are very helpful, but bear in mind that commentaries are basically the opinions of men. Men, scholars, who give their opinion as to what exactly a particular passage of Scripture means. That's why I say be careful. Remember that they are but opinions. Next, I would suggest that you compare word usage. What do we mean by that? Use a concordance when you study. For example, as I prepared the lesson that we discussed this morning, entitled Victory in Jesus, I wanted to know all of the times that the Bible, particularly the New Testament, used the word victory. I was a little bit surprised that it's only found six times, King James Version of the New Testament, the word victory. Three of those are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the passage we used as our lesson text this morning. Three of the six references in the New Testament are quotations of Old Testament prophecy. And one of them is a statement that's made in very figurative language in the book of Revelation. Now, there was a whole lot to learn there in just six references to the word victory in the New Testament. By taking a concordance, if you've got a good concordance in the back of your Bible, you can get a better one that's about 10 times as thick, an exhaustive concordance. They're relatively inexpensive. Very helpful in studying words because they will give you every single time a particular word is used in Scripture. Use a concordance and compare what the verses are saying every time that particular word is used. You will be amazed at how instructive that kind of study will be. And then the last thing on my list is discuss what you read and study with others. Because the discussions that we have with one another can be some of the most fruitful efforts toward Bible study that we will ever engage in. It will always be likely that someone has seen or discovered or read or found something that we haven't found yet. Of course, there is the matter of mutual edification. This is something that God commands of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 gives us the instruction to edify one another. And one of the most effective ways to edify one another is to discuss the Scriptures with one another. And in conclusion, I would leave with you this passage where Paul told Timothy, "And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The bottom line is we need to be good stewards of the Word of God in passing it on to those around us in order that we might be effective at teaching them, leading them to the truth. You cannot teach what you do not know. And so studying the Bible is a very important matter. If you're not a child of God, the New Testament clearly reveals to us what God expects for us to do. We're instructed to believe in Jesus as God's Son, to repent of our sins, to confess our faith in Him, and to be baptized into Christ, and in so doing, come in contact with His cleansing blood. If you, having already done that, but have become unfaithful in your endeavors to live here on this earth, we invite you, along with the Lord Himself, and encourage you by singing this song that has been announced to respond to the Master's invitation. We're anxious to assist you in any way that we possibly can.